and that he doesn't have plans and purposes for, and that he didn't place you here for to be used for his glory. But yet we have a choice, and he will not take that choice away. I believe that every time in those 3 minutes, in the minute that three lives are lost, Jesus grieves. I believe there's not a life that goes out into eternity without Jesus, that God's heart's not broken. Because he, as much as he loves us, sometimes we think, well, because, you know, I come into your presence and I pray to you and I worship you, you must love me a whole lot more than everybody else. You got to love me more than the people in the world. His love is not contingent on works. He loves everyone in the world. He died for not just his church, although he does love his people and he gives us special authority and gives us, he died so that we could get out and win the lost and bear fruit. That's the fruit that he wants. He loves our worship. I wouldn't trade Sunday for anything, just laying in his presence. I love that. But if that's all I do and I don't bear fruit, then I'm going to stand before the Lord. He's going to say, what did you do with what I gave you? And I think this life plays a lot into it. I have a lot of things that I'm going to say, but the video, I'm going to show a piece of Lou Giglio tonight. I'm only going to show about 20 minutes. These videos, when I got them, I've had 3 weeks or 4 weeks to chew on them, and they are really good, but they're an hour, and one of them is an hour and something long. This one I broke down to 20 minutes, I know from teaching kids that if you just speak to them, they remember a small amount. If you speak and let them see, they remember a big amount. If you speak, let them see, and then do something with them, they remember a lot more. If it gets into their life, it becomes real to them. So I am going to show Lou Giglio, and then when I come back up, we're going to get down into some heavy-duty stuff. So, Sonny, start. Do you know where to start it? At 10:30? Okay.
And the sovereign. Of God and the wisdom and creativity of God, a little raisin-sized human being's heart started to beat. And it beats 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 until there's a day when it doesn't beat. And that's when you're gone. And if you've been there, that's that final sound. Da. And that life was an electric current from God that miraculously came from God, and at the appointed moment returned to God. For a little season of life, it resided in you. You know, you walk through a cemetery, which is a good thing to do, and you see these markers everywhere. Some of these are from an old Confederate cemetery, so we got some old guys here. There's E.L. Mason. Anybody related to E.L. Mason, by the way? Just checking. He was born in 1835 and died in 1920. That's a pretty good run right there, I'll tell you. That wasn't easy to do. That was not easy to do. Another one here, we've got a John George Vandergiesen. He started out in 1888 and he died in 1950. This next one is Fanny Shockley Taylor, born in 1880, died in 1950. It's an old cemetery. Here's Frank Sangs. He was born in 1871 and died in 1948. That's Joseph Ashoff Jr., 1923, died a few years ago in 2006. Robert L. Young, he was a trumpet player and a friend of jazz. He was born in 1928, bless him. He died in 2012. And you know, you walk through the cemeteries of our city and just find tens of thousands of these. And they're moms and dads and grandmas and granddads and sons and daughters. And some of these people live incredibly long lives, and some of them live painfully short lives. And in every time you're in a cemetery, you always notice those little ones that'll have a stuffed animal or toy. See a little child that maybe lived a few weeks or a few days or maybe a few years. All different names, all different styles. Some of them are tall, some of them are pointy, some of them are long, some of them are flat on the ground. Some of them have real flowers, some of them have plastic flowers, but they all have one thing in common. Do you see what it is, what every one of those six tombstones has in common? What do they all have in common? Different years, born 1923, died 1920, 1948, 2012, but they all have one thing in common. And the one thing they all have in common is they all have the dash. They have that little line between the day that their heart started beating and they entered into this world, and they have that little marker between the year that they left this earth, and in between is a dash. And a lot of people have talked about this, that life's not so much about when you were born. It's really not so much about when you died. Life is about the dash. It's about what happened in that little dash that's in between. So here we are. Our bodies are laid in the ground. Our friends and family, if they want, can come and visit us. And what you see there of the story, if you don't know the person, is they were born here, they died here, and all we really have time to tell you right now is that their life was this dash in between. That in between arriving on earth and leaving earth, there's a dash. That dash may be 7 years long, or 70 years long, or 97 years long, but it's all a dash just the same. And what we want to talk about today is, we're coming to open up this new series, is what are we going to do with that dash? What are we going to do with the dash? Because we already know when you were born. God already knows when you're going to die. But what's up for grabs today is what we do with the dash in between. In between this little miraculous heartbeat that begins when we're the size of a raisin, and that moment where our heart beats the very last time. And then our journey on earth is over. What do we do with the dash? And it's amazing to me how we avoid the elephant in the room. When the elephant of death in the room possibly is the greatest gift that God can give us in life on this earth. I know why there's death, because sin entered into the world in the garden. I know why we die, because the wages of sin is death. I know this world is broken and it's not what God intended. And I know that that's how it all works. But I also wondered, like you do, why is it like that? Why is this a part of the journey of our lives? And honest to God, I believe it's a part of the journey of our lives, because on this broken planet, we can get so easily distracted and deceived and confused. And if there's not a funeral to go to, we forget how precious the dash is. And when we walk out of every funeral we go to, we say, I'm going to make my dash count. I'm going to change the way I live. I'm going to modify some things in my journey. I'm going to become a different kind of person. I'm going to treat people differently. I'm going to start talking more boldly about my faith. I'm going to start prioritizing the things that really matter. And about a week later, a month later, 6 months later, that starts to fade again. Then we start to drift again back into, hey, you know what? I'm here. I got time. I've got tomorrow. I have next year. We can do that in another season. I just kind of want to take it easy for a while. And we forget that urgency of the moment, that there's going to be a day when that heart beats for the last time. And when we arrive at the destination we're all going to right now, which is our own funeral. And I know yesterday, all over again for me, just as one more fruit of Henry Williams' life, was for me yesterday to walk away from that moment and say, God, I so want this life to count. Forgive me for losing track of how precious these heartbeats are. You know how close the last one is to right now. But sometimes I lose sight. I want to share a story, and then we'll just kind of park it there today, and we'll pick up again. We've got some time to journey together. But Jesus understood this, and we're going to see so much of this over the next few weeks. Jesus understood so much of the dimensions of eternity, and he taught about eternity all the time. In fact, if you read the four Gospels, Jesus always talking about paradise. He's talking about heaven. He's talking about the kingdom of God, or he's talking about hell and what happens to us if we don't invest with him and invest our dash in the things that really matter. And in this particular story he comes to, it's one that would be familiar to you if you've been around church, but it'll ring true to all of us, but especially to those of you who maybe haven't heard a lot of the teachings of Jesus. And it's found in Luke's Gospel, chapter 12, verse 13. And Jesus is just talking about that urgency of seeing the reality and the potential of the dash that's in our lives. And this is what Jesus says. It says, someone in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." And Jesus replied, "Man, who appointed me a judge or an arbiter between you?" So let me just set up the backdrop here. The brother is all preoccupied with the family's wealth and when the inheritance is going to get divided out a certain way. So the brother's thinking like we're thinking. I'm on earth. This is it. This is life. Our family has some money. I want to get the money that I should get from the family because that's going to set me up to do X, Y, and Z. And that's the lens through which he's looking at life. So if you just put that in our context, it's the lens of our job, the lens of the career we're in, the lens of the success we want to have, the opportunities we want to experience, the travel that we're planning and hoping to do, the money that we've made, the family that we have, the things that we're looking through to see this is what life is really all about. And we just want to make sure we get our fair share of life. And so this brother is just saying to Jesus, "Hey, you look like a guy with some spiritual authority. Tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." And Jesus said, "Hey, that's really not what I came to do. That's not my job. I'm here to do a lot of things. Arbitrating the inheritance between you and your brother is not really one of them, but let me paint a bigger picture for you." And he told this parable. Verse 16. "The ground of a certain rich man produced a good crop." Now, yours may not be a crop. Yours may be a career. It may be a family. It may be a legacy. Produce some good stuff was coming. And he thought to himself, "What shall I do? I have no place to store my crops." And so he said, Jesus is telling this story, "This is what I'll do. I'll tear down my barn and build a bigger barn. And there I'll store all my grain and all my goods. And I'll say to myself," this is the part where we really see the condition of the human heart. He said, "I'll say to myself, you have plenty of good things." That's the key, good things. Good things can get in the way of a lot of great stuff God wants to do in our lives. "You have plenty of good things laid up for many years." So basically, Jesus is saying, this guy said, "I got a lot of good stuff in a really big barn for all the years to come. I'm set." And so this is his conclusion. Take life easy. Eat, drink, and be merry. And isn't that the American dream? Make enough so that you can retire and take it easy and eat, drink, and be merry. Make enough so you can cash out of work, get an RV, drive around the country for the next 30 years. But, verse 20, God said to him, "You fool." Man, I don't want God to say that to me. Of all the things to have God Almighty say to you, this is not the one. "This very night your life will be demanded from you. And then he adds insult to injury to this poor guy in the parable. And then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? And then he caps it with verse 21. This is how it will be with anyone who stores up things for himself but is not rich towards God. Now that's a message for another day that we're going to talk about, and I can't wait for that message to come. You've heard the phrase, you can't take it with you. Well, I'm gonna come with a different viewpoint on that in a few weeks. Never seen a U-Haul trailer at a cemetery. All that kind of thinking. And that's kind of the point Jesus was kind of driving at. But on the way, didn't he make a more powerful statement than what the world's trying to tell us when it tells us just work as hard as you can so you can cash out of the system so that you can take it easy in life and then you can eat and drink and be merry. You can put your own terms on that so you can travel and see the world and not work and just have a simpler life and have some hobbies and, you know, just enjoy what you'd work so hard to earn. And we forget that there's a big elephant in the room called life, called death. And there's a moment when we don't have any more heartbeats. And when that moment comes, we don't have any more heartbeats. And when we don't have any more heartbeats, our opportunity on this earth is gone. And our opportunity to influence people, to share the gospel, to live for the things that matter, to be the kind of people God has called us to be, to pour into our friends and our family, to prioritize what really matters, and to invest in heaven is gone. You know, the way for me to say that today as we close is simply this. I'm thinking about the old phones. Anybody remember the old phones? You know, you used to pick up the phone. Did anybody remember that? And what was on there when you picked up the phone? A dial tone. You remember that? That's what happened. It used to be that way. Now you don't do that anymore because you just get your smartphone out and you start dialing your recents. But wouldn't it be cool if they put that back on the iPhone? Just pick up your phone and you just heard that? And then that got annoying, and so the little lady would come on and say, what? If you'd like to make a call, please hang up and try your number again later. I.e., we're not going to sit here and do this all day. You know, that lady, she was married to Bell South, and she was just trying to let us know, hey, you know, we this costs money, this little thing you're hearing, and we're not going to do that all day, so try it again. We'll start back all over again. And then we would dial, and we'd dial these numbers. I think that's the picture that I want to leave with us today. That life, the dash, is like one of the beeps. That's it. You say, no, I want it to be longer. No, that's it. And it's a miraculous thing because no one can quite describe how your heart started beating. And only God knows, and he knows because it's written in his book, Psalm 139, the very last time your heart beats. And that little dash in between, it's like that. And then there is eternity, either in heaven with God or without God. And that is that affects everything about that. What you do with that determines everything about that. That little dash impacts your forever future. The 7 years, the 17 years, the 27 years, the 37 years, the 47 years, the 77 years impacts forever. And everybody gets that. And I wanted to begin today by bringing us back around this little precious window called life. And I want to ask you today, what do you want your dash to be about? And do you want to have said in that day, I wish I had cared less about what people thought. I wish I really hadn't cared so much about what my neighbors thought about me going and telling them about Jesus. Because I was all concerned that they were going to think I was an idiot, think I was a freak, and think I was some kind of bizarre Christian nut job. I wish I hadn't spent all my money on stuff. I wish I had looked into the eyes of Jesus more and gained the courage that he has to walk out in life in the highs and the lows and the good and the bad and the darkness and in the light and say, you know what, it is hard right now, but Jesus is greater. In this little life I've got, I'm going to proclaim that Jesus is alive and that my hope is in someone who has conquered death, hell, and the grave. I am not going to be a complainer in this life. I'm not going to be beat down by circumstances. I'm not going to be dragged under by the undertow of negativity and all the heartbreak of this world and just seep into depression and seep into denial and numb myself and sort of go on autopilot and comatose living. I'm going to rise up out of that and say, you know what, I've only got a certain number of heartbeats and maybe it is a hard life and maybe it is a broken world and maybe it's not all adding up the way I thought it was, but I do know Jesus, thank you very much. And so in the beep, I'm going to proclaim Jesus, because I know there's a tone coming and I want in that tone to have the reward of saying in the beep, I proclaim Jesus.
Does that not move you? So I even asked myself this question this evening, how am I spending my dash? I only get one, you only get one, we don't get two. And yet, the dash seems so important to do what we want to do. Are you living your dash fully, knowing who you are, what you were created to be? Or are you, as he says it, are you dashing, are you living the dash, or are you dashing to live? And that's what the world is. They want to go to the next high, the next big deal. Unfortunately, the path of many that they're on today, when they stand in eternity, they'll find out they wasted their dash. And I know that there's so many times, as I've watched this, I get so convicted because I think even as a Christian, I get so busy that I don't care about, it's not that I don't care, I don't want to be bothered with, you know, going out into the world and witnessing to the lost. But yet, that's what Jesus made us for, to bear fruit. I don't think we're going to do it, but I'll hand this out if you wouldn't mind. I have a little worksheet I was going to do, but time is flying. And it's a little tombstone. What I need you to do, you don't even need to do, there's some pins there, but it kind of explains, you write your beginning date on there, the day you were born, put the dash, and then put 20 something, because we haven't filled that part, the ending part out. Then on your tombstone, write down, what would it say? What would Jesus, if I had the life that Jesus wanted me to live, what would it say on my tombstone? And then I would ask you today, are you living that life? Are you trying to fulfill that purpose on your tombstone? I know it's a little creepy, but it does work. I did this at home, and I put a verse on mine. I thought and thought, what would I really, really want? And the verse that I came up with, she loved not her life unto the death. I thought, that's pretty much says it, but I don't know if I'm there. We celebrate our birth. We celebrate that date. We have cake on that day. We have family get together. We blow out candles. We get gifts. It's a big deal, the day we were born. But the bigger day is when we step into glory, and the day that our last date is put down and our dash comes to an end. The dash represents everything we lived for. What did you do? Everything you lived for. It represents all the people that we loved here on earth. It represents our passions. It represents our dreams. And sad to say, the dash also represents our mistakes and our regrets. But even mistakes and regrets, we all have them. It's what we do with them. We can turn them around to a testimony. So today, the only part of that on that tombstone that you see that you have any control over is the dash. And until you take your last breath, there's time to live that dash the way that Jesus wants. If you're still breathing, there's plenty of time to live that dash. And we don't know when that last date's going to be, but I'm convicted. This really convicted me. Being a good Christian is not all Jesus wants. He wants us to press out and begin to win people to the Lord. It's kind of like there's a remote control. Honey, I won't lose this, I know. Guys, this is like, I know you're drooling. Look at them all like, oh, remote. I like women, we like our Hallmark and get into it. They're like, flip, flip, flip. Oh, that's going on there. And it's like, oh, I can't handle it. But the remote, we want to think that we have control over our lives. We love it when we can take the remote and say, oop, tired of that. And in fact, there are times in our life where if we had a way, we would fast forward through something. But you know, when Pastor Joe Vandenberg was here, what an eye-opener. Even our trials that we would fast forward through, they're purposeful. They're meaningful. We can't fast forward through them. God's got purpose and meaning for them. And you wouldn't want to when you look back on them, even the mistakes and failures. But this is what God spoke to me. As I was praying about this, and the remote wasn't even part of this, but he said, Kay, all I want for you, I won't take the remote from your hands. You can flick through all you want. You can have control of your life. I gave that free will to you at Eden. And it won't be taken from you as long as you're breathing. What I delight in is when my children freely lift up the remote and say, here, you take the remote, Jesus. You speak to me. You tell me where you want me to go, and I'll go there. You take the remote of my life, and I will live for you. That's a hard thing, isn't it? Because what if it brings us to persecution? What if it takes something from us that we love? Will we say, oh, God, here, give me that remote back. I'm going to take control of it. What are you going to do? And I go before the Lord. I've been taking the remote, and I've been saying to the Lord, I know you don't always have control of my remote. I love you with all my heart, and I know what you want from me, and I know that I need to do it, but I keep thinking I've got plenty of time, and it's out of my box. So let's imagine something. Sonny, can I put up the verse too? In Ephesians 2:10, we are God's masterpiece. He created us anew in Christ so that we could do good things He has planned for us long ago. Even before you were birthed, even before you were put in the womb of your mother, your Father, Heavenly Father, knew you. He loved you. He placed you in the womb and said, oh, my plans and purposes for you are wonderful. Oh, what I'm going to do with you. But He doesn't take away our free will. And if we would ever sell out, and if we would ever quit thinking, well, I went through this bad thing, And so that wasn't good for me. They're all good for us, and if I trust him. But imagine this. Imagine your life is over. You're led into a room with two chairs, one for you and one for God. There's also a DVD player in the room. Are DVDs still popular? Is that the popular? Okay, I'm thinking. I was alive when there was 8-tracks and stuff too. So it's. And God pops in while we're sitting in that room. Pops in a DVD, and it's a DVD with your name on it. So mine is titled "K Freeze: What Might Have Been," written and produced by your Almighty God. Imagine now. Watching all that God wanted to do in and through your life if you had let him have the remote. If you had stopped fast-forwarding through life and just trying to get the next big adventure in your life and the next thing to make you feel good. Imagine seeing all the lives that you could have touched. The hopeless situations that you could have brought hope into someone's life with. Imagine seeing what God could have done with your financial resources if you had trusted him and gave generously of your first fruits to the church and to help the poor and the needy. Imagine seeing what he might have done in your relationships if you had trusted him enough to be fully truthful and fully loving. Imagine seeing what he might have done with your character if you had confessed your sins, acknowledged temptation, and pursued growth. Life, what you do with it matters. All I can say is I believe that all of you here are believers in Jesus Christ, but this is challenging believers in Jesus Christ. We're not living our dash fully. We must ask the Lord to show us how I can release the remote and trust you with my life. And to trust you, I when troubles come, to say, well, I don't know why this trouble's here, but to rise up above it and say, I will worship the Lord in the midst of this trial. He's still worthy to be praised. And everything is a character builder, and it's to make us better. So I have some good news for you. I know it's been kind of a downer. That DVD of your life and my life is not complete yet. If you're sitting here tonight and you're breathing, it's not complete yet. And there's still time for you to live your dash well. And if we started tonight just when we saw someone at Walmart or whatever, I know Pastor Harris and my husband's really good at this too. The Lord will grab him and like someone's in a wheelchair and he would just, I gotta go pray for them, and so I'll just start interceding. But that, if we got the heart of God, I don't think we'd walk by a lot of situations. And when we are alone with God, I had a teenager on Sunday after we were done at the altar, she texted me Sunday afternoon. She goes, Kay, I just really need to know how to know God's voice when we're doing altar service and stuff. And I said, you know, you need to know God's voice in the secret place. Then when you're going through the altar, you'll know God. You'll go, oh, yeah, that's his voice. I heard him in the secret place. I know that's him speaking to me. And you're not going to be afraid to go talk to that person because you already know God's voice. We have to know his voice. But one thing I cautioned her is if you want to go to the altar and have all these wonderful things so people, it's what's done in the secret place that prepares you openly, because you're not going to carry pride. You're not going to be arrogant and say, I did that, or isn't that cool what God did? It's out of the secret place. If you don't have a relationship, it will reek of pride. And so I encourage, I know to get out into the world, it's going to take, here's the remote, God. And when you speak to me, I am not going to be afraid to go to that person. In this lesson, it's all about living our dash like Jesus lived. He showed us the perfect way to live. He laid down his life for those he loved. So we need to live life passionately. We need to love completely. We need to learn to be humble. And we need to go out boldly. So at funerals, there's can I get you guys? This is a little bookmark. It's called The Dash. And I'm just going to read the poem as I close up. the dash. I read of a man who stood to speak at a funeral of a friend. He referred to the date on her tombstone from the beginning to the end. He noted that first came the date of her birth and spoke of the ending date with tears. But he said what mattered most of all was the dash between those years. For that dash represents all the time that she spent alive on the earth. And now only those who loved her know what that little line was worth. For it mattered not how much we own, the cars, the house, the cash. What matters is how we live and love and how we spend our dash. So think about this long and hard. Are there things you'd like to change? For you never know how much time is left that you can still be rearranged. If we could just slow down enough to consider what's true and real, and always try to understand the way other people feel, and be less quick to anger and slow and show appreciation more, and love the people in our lives like we've never loved before. If we treat each other with respect and often wear a smile, remembering that this special dash might only last a little while. So when your eulogy is being read, with your life's actions to rehash, would you be proud of the things they say about how you spent your dash? I hope it's been convicting. It was for me. And I will tell you that there was a young lady, I was doing the remote thing with God, and the God just said, do you really mean what you say? And I said, yeah, because you know when I'm studying like this, it's like, yeah, my dash is going to... And the Lord said, okay, today I want you to go down. There was a young lady that Pastor Harris had asked me to go down to see, and I went down with Sonny and Pastor Dave, and her name was Tasha White. And so she had called me back. I gave her my phone number and said, hey, you know, because, boy, when we went there, she laid her head on my shoulder, and I mean wept, just gut wrench, and I said, oh honey, it's okay. She goes, no, and wept. It just was from the belly, and my heart broke for her. I knew, I could sense when I wrapped my arms around her that there was so much brokenness and hurt and no hope. She had no hope. She'd lost her children because of drugs. She came to Iowa with nothing because she's trying to rebuild her life, but she doesn't know where to go. It's like all she's got are these people that are druggies, and she's starting to do it again. So that day, the Lord brought her to my heart and said, you mean what you say? And I said, yeah, Lord, you just got to show me the opportunities. And immediately I saw Tasha White. And he said, you go back to her. She had called on my phone, and she was crying. And she said, Kay, you know, I just need someone. And at first I'm like, oh, God, this is not in my schedule today. And, you know, the Lord just said, she's given to you. You go to her. So I called her back and said, Tasha, she goes, could you bring some food with you? And so I did. I sometimes you have to meet their physical need to meet their spiritual need. So I did. So I took food, and she needed some laundry detergent. And I said, okay, hon, I'll come. And when I got there, she came out, and I had just been studying about the dash, and the Lord said, I've got this remote. Don't you try to make it easy, and don't you try to weasel out of this. Just speak what I give to you. You got to know his voice. So once again, I said, Tasha, I came to you because I feel like there's so much hurt inside of you. You know, when I was here last time, I could sense that your spirit hurts. And she started crying again. And we're out in the middle of her yard, and she just starts crying. I wrap my arms around her. She's, you know, just snotting. I said, honey, I can't fix you. Nobody can fix you. The things that you need, only your Creator can fix. But I've got good news. I can introduce you to your Creator. And it got so close. I just thought, okay, she's going to, because she was so open. And then she has a little boy that came to the door, and you know how the enemy used it, and it broke. So I said to Tasha, Tasha, I don't feel I can today. And I said, okay, I'm not going to force you. But I said, you know, you've got my phone number, and I'm praying for you. You're going to be a child of God. You are. And that I wouldn't have done that except that I'd been doing this with God. And he said, if I've got the remote, then you listen to me. And it's Sonny's pretty protective of me, and he doesn't like me going. It's in a really bad neighborhood. I mean, there's guy, you know, they're just walking all over there, and it's where a lot of stuff is going on. And but the Holy Spirit said, do you trust me? And I thought, if I call Sonny and I tell him, hey, hon, I just want you know, because I thought, yeah, if something happens, he won't even know I'm here. But I knew if I called him, he'd say, you are not going there by yourself. But I had to, yeah, you get it, husbands get it. And I thought, nope, this is, God has told me I'm going to do this. So I did. I went down, and she has this boyfriend that's kind of out of it, and he's kind of scary. And but I just thought, okay, God, if I'm going to trust you, I'm going to trust you with everything. But that's part of the dash. I am trusting you that as I've worked through this, I'm still working through it. As I've had to listen to God, that now you will look for opportunities. And I'm asking God tonight, as we close, I'm going to ask God to guide tonight. I'm going out on a limb. I'm going to say that he drops opportunities in your lap that are way out of your box, that you're scared to death to do, that you have to trust God to do it with you. And that's where you learn that, wow, God's bigger than anyone. He's bigger than my husband. You know, when you're doing it, when you step into that mold, when I stepped in, once I got there, I didn't even worry about the drugs and these scary guys walking around and, you know, and they're all looking. All of a sudden, all fear was gone. It was totally gone. It was all about Tasha and Jesus. And I thought, you know, if you have a weapon and if you're going to do something, I'm ready to go to heaven, but God's not through with me, so I'm untouchable. I felt untouchable. And I think that's where God's taking us. So I know I'm going over. So I'm going to pray tonight, and I just read what's on the paper there, and you can do that at home instead of doing it tonight. So hopefully you've been challenged. I have. So, Father God, in the name of Jesus, it's hard to close this out because there's so many things that you want to do. The people in this room, Father, are so precious to me. And Lord, you've called us to be a family. And Lord, we are pushing each other. And I believe that this series is going to push us to where our next assignment is going to be. Lord, you have got to take the remote of our life, but you won't take it unless we give it. So Lord, tonight, I lift up the remote. And I am asking you, Jesus Christ, take control of my remote. Help me, Jesus, to not want to be comfortable anymore. Help me, Jesus, to understand that we are not the only children that you died for. And unless we get out of there, the other children are not going to make heaven their home. Lord, we do not rest until we step into glory. And this dash says it all. What am I going to bring before you in glory? What lives are going to be changed because of me? There's still time. And tonight, Lord Jesus, I ask over the people that are in this room, Father, that you will not let them rest. Begin to show them people in their lives that they need to be unafraid, unoffendable, to go there. And Lord, what is it going to matter if they're upset with us because we're a Jesus freak? Worse, if they hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. Take the remote, Jesus. Begin to convict us. Begin to help us to walk our dash in the fullness of what you've called us to walk in. And we lay it down before you tonight. May each one of us in this room, may each of my brothers and my sisters and those that I love, Father, dearly in this house of God, may we all walk this journey together. May we be challenged together. And may we come back on a Sunday and say, here, this person has come to God. And this person, because I gave God the remote, and he said, do this, and I obeyed. We're not going to fast forward anymore past the hard times. We're going to go through everything and let you be glorified. So we give it to you, and we allow you to use our lives for your glory until the day of your return. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
All right. 9 minutes after, go get your kids.